Nighttime at Leysham Barracks. An army truck drives past a bunch of marching soldiers. It approaches the tall iron gates. A cluster of semi-detached houses with well-kept front lawns. A couple walk along the pavement past some children playing in the street. Two kids are riding bicycles. A young girl, Hannah, runs out of a house, across the road and through her own front door. Claire Skinner as Claire, Claire Higgins as Paula, Nicola Stevenson as Louise, Antonia Thomas as Tasha. Created by Sue Tedern, written by Jan McVerry, produced by Kim Crowther, directed by Terry McDonough. Homefront with ITFC audio description. Episode 1. A dimly lit bedroom. Hannah's mum Louise is wearing a nightie. She's dancing sexily for army husband Joe, who's watching her via an internet connection.
Hold on, baby.
Louise strips to a layer which covers her body and the top of her bum.
Oh, Jesus.
Louise quickly puts on a gown when two soldiers walk into Joe's tent. Louise blows a kiss to the screen.
Mrs. Bailey, right.
In a nearby house.
This one, the dress. Yes.
No.
Oh, it's lovely. You should wear them more often. Really nice.
I'm saving that one for Matt. Oh, look, only 122 sleeps till he gets back from tour. Right. Drink.
Yeah.
Tasha pours her friend a glass of vodka.
Oh, well, it's very kind of you to call, Lorna.
A detached house.
Well, you know, keeping busy helps, and there's still a bit of unpacking to do, and you know, you don't have to call us every evening. Where's Millie as a grandma?
Babysitting. She said you knew.
Oh, Lorna, could I call you back a bit later? Okay.
Teenager Sam's playing a video game.
Is Tasha someone? A wife from Pete's battalion?
Well, did she leave an address? Sam, did Millie say...
She said not to wait up.
Outside a bar, two teens are snogging in an alleyway.
Slow down, soldier.
God, I love posh birds. Say that again.
Meanwhile, Louise, wearing a tight red dress, walks into the bar, which is called Mojito's 88. She sees Tasha and Keely inside, and they follow her to the toilet. An IV bag under Louise's dress.
Ladies, doubles.
No!
Filled with vodka.
Trebles.
Louise squeezes the bag into Keely's glass.
Dean.
In the alleyway.
Dean! You are so dead when I get you home.
Wait, Shannon. She's asthmatic.
Dean's fiance starts hitting him as the girl he was snogging, Millie, scurries away. Millie goes back inside and joins her friends. Meanwhile, Tasha, Louise and Keely walk up to the bar.
Want a drink?
She'll have a slappy squaddy.
No, it won't be the first.
You're all right, my husband sends me housekeeping from Hellman.
All I heard is husband, blah, 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 Hellman.
You should get your ears syringed.
And she should know, she used to be a nurse.
Louise walks away.
And what did you used to be?
Good.
The three women are on the dance floor joyfully waving their hands in the air. They dance, smile and hug each other. The next day at Tasha's house. Tasha's bent down with her head over the toilet bowl. Tasha glares towards the door.
Elephant.
What does an elephant say?
In Tasha's living room.
Here's Mummy.
Howard was supposed to be opening up. He's had to leave Jeanine to do the breakfast.
She'll be glad of the overtime.
Sorry, the alarm didn't go off.
Half an hour, you can understand.
Sorry, I'll leave that.
It's the builders. They only get 15 minutes break. Yeah. You can't keep up, they go to McDonald's.
Should have got a cab on me. All on the drive.
I know. He slept good, any road?
Did you, monster?
Oh, that's another thing. He didn't leave us enough nappies.
Duckling? What did the duckling say? Oh, yeah, and this came for you. It's from Matt.
A letter.
We saw the postman as he was walking out.
Tasha puts the letter on the mantelpiece. She then picks up her son Alfie, who's resting on Howard's knee.
Ooh, aren't you going to open it? I'd have yours ripped open in 2 seconds.
In Claire's house.
Ah, new rule, by the way. Babysitting's weekends only during term time. After midnight and school night.
Don't think so.
Did you tell Dad?
No, he didn't ring.
Was he supposed to?
Yeah.
Didn't he text?
No.
I'm getting texts from other people.
Claire's daughter Millie looks at her phone.
Op minimise. Lockdown. If there's been casualties, there'll be no calls in or out.
Casualties? Do you think there's been a hit?
That's what I'm trying to find out.
Holding a bottle of water and wearing leggings, Louise is jogging through the street. She stops and her mouth drops open as a blue car passes by. Sitting in the passenger seat in a soldier's uniform is a padre, or military chaplain. He glares at Louise. Louise turns and begins sprinting in the opposite direction. The padre directs the notifying officer to turn at the end of the road. Louise runs through a narrow alleyway and finally reaches her front door. A couple of moments later, the car drives by her house. Louise drops her head back and gasps with relief. Back at Claire's house, Millie and Sam freeze. Claire stops near the door and looks back at them. Tasha's house. Paula stops ironing and Tasha looks towards the door anxiously.
Answer it.
The women look at each other.
Where's the front door?
A delivery man with a package for Claire.
Just like to sign there, please.
Veteran Howard opens Tasha's door. It's the padre, an officer.
Jim?
It's not a social call.
Howard hesitates, then steps aside and allows the two men to enter the house. Tasha and Howard's wife Paula wait nervously in the living room. The men walk into the living room.
Natasha Raveley.
Who's this?
That's Alfie.
Come on, Alfie. Let's go and have a look outside.
There's been an incident.
Tasha, who's shaking, tries to push the officer out of the door.
No, 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 no,
Tasha,
get him out!
Tasha, no!
No!
Paula and Howard try to restrain Tasha as she repeatedly cries no and tries to force the officer out. The padre leaves Tasha's house. The notifying officer follows, checking his phone as he closes the front door. Dark-haired Paula watches them through the window.
Family notified.
Frizzy-haired Tasha's sobbing.
2 seconds from now, it'll be all around the world. 22 years and look at you. Barely a scratch.
Tom?
6 years. Not square bashing on the Rhine in the desert in the thick of it.
Tears stream down Tasha's face.
Haven't we done enough?
A saddened Howard sitting down, and little Alfie obliviously plays with toys. Paula turns away from the window. A children's ballet class in a church hall. With the teacher's guidance, small girls skip, twirl and dance. Louise walks over to Julie, who's watching the class.
The same one fatality.
Definitely one.
Family's been notified. The one at Caffin Town, the cookhouse.
The Raveleys.
Are they friends?
They've got 2 sons. Was it Tom or Matt?
I don't know. They said he had a kid.
Oh, Jesus. Matt.
Flowers have been laid down in Tasha's front garden.
Okay, thanks very much. Bye. The visiting officer's coming up 4 to talk about the funeral. I've asked the Padre to come back.
Should I take Alfie?
Paula mouths no.
He's asleep. She wants him here.
A photo frame on the windowsill shows Tasha and Matt on their wedding day.
Did you get through to your mum?
A somber Tasha shakes her head. A policeman steps out of a car.
Adam's here. Is Tom all right? Physically?
They're giving him compassionate leave so he can bring Matt home. They've asked Major Bartham too.
They must have rated him.
My dad doing something important. Something he loved.
Policeman Adam walks in.
Came as soon as I heard. I'm supposed to be training this sort of thing.
Adam takes a seat. Tasha's holding a mug and staring into space.
The last time I spoke to him, we rowed.
Louise turns round to Tasha.
Everyone falls out.
Slam the phone down.
Tasha squints and shakes her head for a brief moment.
He didn't love it. Howard loved it. Tom loves it. Just a job.
Tasha continues staring blankly at the wall. Adam passes Tasha the phone.
Hello?
Marion, it's me.
Hiya, Tasha, love, how are you?
Tasha freezes and nervously passes the phone back to Adam.
Hello?
Hello?
You don't know me, I'm a friend of Tasha and Matthew. I've got some bad news, I'm afraid.
Hands off, this is for your dad when he gets home.
Millie's eyes are glued to her phone as Claire loads shopping into the back of her Land Rover.
Sam likes beans.
He's so on the spectrum.
He just likes beans.
A car stops. Inside is Shannon, who caught her fiancé snogging Millie outside the club. Millie grins and mimes a blowjob at Shannon, who then grits her teeth and speeds off. Millie gets into the passenger seat of her mum's car.
Talking of Sam, do you see much of him at school?
Not if I can help it. Don't look at me like that. Do you think he'd thank me for cozying up to him in the canteen?
Oh, might do. Friendly face. His last girl was much bigger, wasn't so cliquey. I mean, we've been here a while now and he hasn't really mentioned many friends.
I see this is going. Don't.
What?
Don't even think about bobbing in for a friendly word with the head.
I wasn't going to.
That would not be cool. Not for you, not for me, and certainly not for Sam.
Yeah, but
he's an emo kid in a school for rednecks.
You were an ex-boarder. They should have eaten you alive.
I used to hang out in the holidays. I speak fluent chav.
Louise is standing at her front door with a glass of wine as daughter Hannah plays in the garden with Tasha's son, Alfie.
Sadly, an all too familiar picture as this Globemaster plane lands at RAF Bryce Norton, making the final journey home of 23-year-old Private Matthew Raveley of the 1st Battalion Royal Laysham Regiment.
Louise sits down inside and watches the ITN news. A runway at RAF Bryce Norton. Six soldiers hold up a coffin which is wrapped in a flag of the Union Jack. They march the coffin towards a hearse with small, slow steps.
Tom's lost weight.
He always does.
Paula, Howard and the fallen soldier's widow, Tasha, look on. Tasha holds up her mobile phone to take a photo.
Tasha, please.
If that ends up on Facebook.
The solemn-looking soldiers slowly slide the coffin into the back of the hearse. Seven soldiers watch and raise their right hands in salute.
Bear departed. Inwards. Turn.
One of the soldiers is Tom, Matt's brother and Howard and Paula's son. He turns and stares at a higher-ranking soldier, Major Pete Bartham. Tom then glances at his parents as Tasha begins to cry. The Oak Pub in Laysham.
You did well today, son.
A long flight back from Afghan. With your brother in a box.
Tom and Howard are in the pub.
You do a lot of thinking. I'm not the one with a kid. I'm not the one with a wife.
22 years shoveling scram. Still here.
Howard puffs his cheeks.
Just do me a favour. Don't make me go through this again.
A barman puts two pints down on the table. Howard glances at Tasha and Paula at the bar.
Now, you're not talking to your mother. What really happened?
It's what they told you, Dad. It's what Bartham... We'll tell the brass tomorrow. We're out with a crew from the Afghan Nationals, joint ops. Came under fire. Took cover in this compound. It's crap intel or a trap. Can't be sure. And then...
Tom looks down at the table.
And then this kid... comes... toddling out from nowhere. Couldn't have been much older than Alfie.
Now Matt steps up.
Save the kid from a bullet. And then... bang.
And that wasn't a trap.
Either way, he was a hero, Dad.
Adam comes over to the table.
Mate.
Tom gets up and shakes his hand.
Bastard still owes me money.
Matt.
Matty.
They raise their pints. Some soldiers march along a street. Claire stops her Land Rover and picks up a bunch of flowers and a jigsaw puzzle from the passenger seat. She takes them to Tasha's front door.
Tasha? I'm Claire Marshbrook. I'm Pete Bartham's partner. Fiancée.
Louise.
Whatever you... Major Pete Bartham. My stepdaughter Millie was babysitting for you on the night.
Claire hesitates.
Come in.
Louise smiles and bobhead Claire walks into Tasha's house holding the gifts.
I didn't think you'd feel like cooking, so... And that's for little Alfie. Oh,
thanks. Sit down.
Thank you.
Cup of tea?
I'm Louise, by the way, Louise Manchetta.
Oh, hi, Louise. Oh. Ignore that.
Louise puts the flowers down in the kitchen. Claire slowly lowers herself onto the sofa next to Tasha.
I'm so sorry about your husband. I've been asking around and he was very highly thought of. Someone so young.
He was special. I bet they all say that, all the widow.
Well, I don't know. I'm new to all this. I'm so sorry. Pete's first wife died. I don't know if you knew her.
Angela. Lovely woman.
Yes, everybody says so, yeah.
I'm going to leave you to it.
Louise gives Claire some tea and kisses Tasha on the head.
Nice to meet you.
Louise picks up her bags and walks out.
Oh.
Claire looks at the mantelpiece and sees a photo of Tasha's late husband, Matt.
Handsome lad.
Right party animal when I met him. But he did a lot for me. I took turns with the baby and that. First time he went away, I cried my leg off. Thought I'd never survive without him.
Tasha stares at the photo.
But you're not on your own. It's a close community and people understand what you're going through.
And some of them cross the road to avoid you. I see her. Keely, godmother to my Alfie. We trained together, worked together, everything. 5 days since Matty died. Hadn't been near. Too upset. You'd think death was catching.
A little later...
I was talking to a grieving widow, and just because I didn't answer immediately, you thought you could bombard me with texts.
Bombard? But what? I sent you 3 poxy text
messages.
In as many minutes, and then you left a message on my voicemail.
I was worried.
Just because I don't
have a job doesn't mean I don't have a life. Little shit!
What did you just call me?
Not you.
What I want to know is, can I stay at Jay's tonight? Simple yes or no.
And what I want to know is, where were you Thursday night? Because you sure as hell weren't babysitting for the Raveleys.
Are you saying I'm a liar?
Well, either you lied and you still don't know that Matt was blown to Kingdom Come, or you did know and you just don't care.
Claire?
Either way, you're grounded.
As Claire tries to reverse park, she bumps into a blue van. A chubby man's furious.
Are you blind, you stupid bitch? You didn't even check your mirrors. I've got deliveries today. What am I supposed to do now?
Well, same as you did when this happened.
Eh?
Keep on driving.
Eyewitness, by the way. He wasn't in the van when it happened. So no claiming for whiplash, sunshine.
A part of the back bumper on Claire's vehicle hangs off.
Pete's gonna go mad. He lost that car.
Thanks for that. And thanks for the drink. He's all right, Tony. He's an ex-sapper. He won't rip you off.
Can I say something? Just a word of advice. Don't use the front door. Knock on the window or go around the back or serenade him from the garden if you have to. It's just... well, round here, a knock on the front door means only one thing.
Claire looks regretful. On leaving the wine bar, Claire walks back to her Land Rover with Louise. Their jaws drop. There's a nasty and deep scratch on the dark grey vehicle's bonnet. It says, bitch.
No way! To Dad's car! He loves this car!
They will have CCTV footage.
Great! Let's see it!
Are you listening to me? There will be proof!
Are you deaf? I didn't do it!
She didn't do it.
How do you know?
It's about right.
Ah!
All right. Okay, all right. If you say you didn't do it, then I guess I'll have to accept that.
And apologise.
I apologise.
What have you done to deserve this? You've been here 6 weeks. My mum lived here!
Millie, your dad is home to bury a soldier. How about we make his life easy for him by keeping this between ourselves? Millie.
Sure. Let's make life easy. Starting with me staying at Jade's tonight.
Tasha's on the phone in the Cookhouse Cafe, where Howard works.
So just leave me a message after the tone, the beep. Hasta la vista!
Mum, I'm not asking you to spend your money. If you text me, I'll ring you straight back. It's just it's important.
Paula walks in, holding some dry cleaning.
Spoke to the florist. She's ordered the blue. They got the stain out. Oh, when you bought you these. You never last a day out in those skyscrapers.
What about you? Hey, your outfit.
Paula takes some shoes out of a box.
Stay with it, boys. Work hard.
Claire gets out of her car as some soldiers run past.
Hello?
Louise's house.
Back door. Remembered.
Oh, hi.
In the kitchen.
St. Angela. Don't you believe it?
Wonderful cook. Active in the community. Big pals with the Padre. And Pete and Millie really miss her.
Of course they do.
Big shoes to fill.
Listen, I'm not one to speak ill of the dead, but she was a bitch. Class A. Now, I'm not saying she wasn't a good mum who packed her daughter off to boarding school.
Ah, oh, but to be fair...
she was standoffish. There's no way she could have comforted Tasha like you did.
It's just babbling nonsense.
But the longer she's dead, the shinier her halo gets. You just got to deal with it.
I just need something of my own.
Sam?
Besides Sam, I need a job.
What, you've got a big house, big wage coming in?
Both Pete's.
Oh.
But you worked in a war zone.
Until I married another medic. You can't do it. Do this. Have a family.
Claire leans on the table.
Charity, church, or sex.
Do good in your dogging. You're serious? They're my only options.
Well, you know, a talented girl like you, you could do all three.
A dress shop. Paula's trying on a slim-fitting black dress.
Special occasion. Every girl deserves a little black dress.
Paula slowly walks back into the fitting room. She pulls the curtain over. Paula leans back against the wall and closes her eyes with an expression of anguish.
What worked her come home for a son-in-law's funeral?
Maybe she couldn't afford the fare.
Yeah, well, I'd have paid if it mentioned her.
Paula sees the hearse parked outside Tasha's house.
Is he?
Paula tucks her arm inside Howard's and they walk over to the hearse. Inside is their son Matt's coffin, with the Union Jack flag draped around it. In front of the coffin is a blue and white wreath that spells out Daddy. Paula blows a kiss and sobs as she places her hand on the window. Tasha's sitting solemnly on the couch. Paula and Howard.
Cows are here.
Tasha's wearing a green tracksuit.
Tasha? Matt's here, you should be ready.
Tasha stares at the wall. Paula and Howard look at each other.
It's hard, love, of course it's hard.
Tasha sits motionless.
Go get ready.
Little Alfie.
I could get the bed.
Has it even been washed? Hey?
Can't do it, H. Not today.
Tasha gets up and wanders into the garden. Howard points towards her toddler.
You saw Alfie. You go with Grandma.
Come on, love. Come here, love.
I thought the doc gave you some tablets.
Let's go get dressed.
I didn't pick them up.
Right, well, I'll do your stiff whiskey, eh? Something to take the edge off.
It's not for me or for Alfie, it's for the army.
What is?
All of it.
It's for all of us. Out of respect for our son, who we love.
I can say goodbye to him in here.
Well, you'll be sorry. Because it will be standing room only in that church today, and you will see what people thought of him, and you.
Not Paula.
She's feeling it, my God.
Well, I can't hold it together like she can.
Then don't. Cry. Go on, ball your bloody head off if you have to.
Tasha exhales puffs of smoke from her cigarette.
I'll say goodbye my old way.
Howard stares at his daughter-in-law for a few moments, then decides to go back inside. Dressed all in black, Paula walks into the living room carrying Alfie. The funeral director follows her.
It's time we were going.
1 minute. What about him?
Oh, he's going. I don't care what else is happening. This boy's going to lay his daddy to rest. Even if his mother can't be bothered, he's going.
Paula storms out. Howard looks sadly out of the back window to see Tasha smoking with her back turned. The funeral cortege are standing in the street. Paula sits in the back of a funeral car stroking Alfie's back. Howard glances at the house and sees Tasha looking out of the window. Soldiers' right hands are raised in salute as the fleet of black vehicles slowly drive away. Tasha, with frizzy brown hair, closes the curtain. Funeral guests are waiting outside the church. Louise approaches Paula and gives her a hug. Millie stares at Sam, who's wearing a dog tag around his neck. On it, death is written under an image of a skull and crossbones.
What?
Dad said we're black.
Never even knew the bloke.
Tom walks over to Dad Howard.
Where's Tasha?
Not coming. She says she'll say goodbye in her own way.
Good of her.
Well, you know what your mother and I are like.
Tom turns his head slightly and sees Claire's husband, Major Pete Bartham, approaching.
Tom.
Sir.
Pete shakes Howard's and Tom's hands.
What have we done to deserve this? Major home from the front for 3 days?
It's good for morale, isn't it?
Pete walks over to his son, Sam, whose jet black hair is matted down and covers his right eye. Pete tucks Sam's death necklace into the teenager's shirt pocket before walking away. Sam shakes his head and stepsister Millie goes over to entertain Alfie. Wearing a soldier suit adorned with badges, clean-shaven Pete stares at the road.
Bearers, please.
A man with a grey moustache and top hat opens the hearse. Tom stands closest to the vehicle with other pallbearers. He and five other soldiers carry Matt's coffin on their shoulders, taking slow, synchronized steps towards the church. Pete's reading the eulogy.
Diligent. Committed. Popular. Matthew was a soldier's soldier. Like his father Howard before him.
Goodbye.
His brother Tom, still. He wanted to build a bridge to a safer, fairer world. As Shakespeare said, cowards die many times before their deaths. The valiant never taste of death but once. Matt Raveley tasted death but once. And for that reason, he will never be forgotten.
Major Pete Bartham returns to his seat in the second row. The Padre stands at the front of the church and takes his position, Claire sobbing and covering her face with her hands. Pete leans over to Claire.
Pull yourself together.
If you'd all please stand for the Lord's Prayer.
Tasha's friend Keely is outside with Alfie. The toddler smiles as he blows a dandelion.
We don't go in for talking much in our family. We tend to leave that to the women. And it should be my father stood here by rights, but today I couldn't leave it. I had to say a few words about my kid brother to you people because I never said them to his face.
Tom stood at the front of the church. Claire hangs her head downwards.
I love you, Matt.
Situated on Tom's left-hand side is a large photo of Matt.
For years, you were just this irritating buzz around my ear. And then I came home one day and you'd grown up. You got yourself a girl.
Tasha discreetly walks into the church.
And a baby. The first thing I knew about you signing up is when you turned up in your kit and tried to give me stick.
Keely walks in holding Alfie. Tom sees Tasha at the back of the church.
Tasha.
All the guests turn round and stare at Tasha. Her eyes are teary and she trembles slightly, appearing speechless. She's wearing a smart jacket over her black dress.
The last time I was in here was the day we got married. I didn't know we had this many friends.
She nervously rubs her hands. Tasha whispers, "I don't know," to herself and turns round to Keely. She takes her son out of Keely's arms and holds him.
The night I met Matt, there was a song playing. He had a big daft grin on his face. We danced to it at our wedding. When Alfie's bigger and he asks about his dad, I'll play him this.
Guests smile and laugh. Tasha passes Alfie back to her friend. Some of the guests get to their feet. Guests walk towards a village pub where the wake is being held. People mingle in the pub and Howard walks round holding a tray of whiskies.
You did it. You made it yours.
What have I got without you?
Oh, I'm sorry. Honestly. When you need me the most, I've just...
Today was when I needed you the most and you were there.
Lanky Keely leans down and hugs Tasha. Moody teenagers Millie and Sam are sat next to each other, texting on their phones.
It's a good job they're practically related. Inlation, that counts as foreplay.
The disco moment was a surprise.
Oh, yes, well, you see everything these days.
Thanks for what you said, Major. You put a lot of thought into it.
Matt was more than just a soldier.
They're moving Tom's R&R so he could be here. You don't know what that means.
Tom's a Class A soldier, officer material.
It's been his dream ever since he was a little boy. Still, 2 weeks. I wish it were longer.
Well, the longer he's here, the harder it is to go back.
Paula turns round and sees her son Tom drinking a pint.
You might need an extra seat for his liver. Excuse me.
Pete looks over at Tom.
Let's do a Jaeger train, yeah?
Yeah!
Oh, take it easy, Pippa.
Sorry,
in church is bad enough without a night in A&E as well.
Message received and understood, Mum.
Now then, what's going on here?
I'm just saying, I've been listening to the Major singing the praises of this one.
Well, that dick.
Hey.
Claire walks over to Pete.
These kids are literally dying of boredom.
Pete looks at his watch.
I think I've done my bit. I've said my goodbyes.
A soldier's soldier. Should be him in that box.
What do you mean?
21st century soldier in his slogans.
Tom downs a shot.
We're just cannon fodder for the likes of him.
Thomas, wait!
Did he mean Matt?
Later on at Claire's house, her night's falling. She and Pete are lying naked in bed. She's nestled into his chest and he strokes her hair.
What do you think of October? For the wedding?
Why the rush?
Why not? Our tour ends. You're doing a great job here. We don't know what's around the corner.
This is funeral talk.
I'd want you to be looked after.
Don't. Do you really think I've got the makings of an officer's wife?
I think I could whip you into shape.
She looks up and smiles.
October it is, then.
Pete kisses Claire's forehead.
I'm so sorry about this morning, blubbing in the church. Just what you said was so touching and personal.
Matt Raveley wasn't a soldier.
His head.
Not up here.
His heart.
Or in here. He just joined because his dad was a soldier, his brother was a soldier, he got his girlfriend up the duff. He didn't have the brains to be a solicitor or the nous to deal drugs. What else was he going to do? But they're a decent family. It's what they needed to hear.
Claire looks shocked.
Well, he's not going back to his flat in that state, is he? Take your shoes off, throw a quilt over him.
What do you think he meant about Pete Bartham?
Oh, he's had a bellyful of just sounding off.
He's a good OC, isn't he? Everybody says so.
Love, I bet the disciples had a bitch at the Last Supper.
It was more than bitching.
The lad's just buried his baby brother. He's allowed to lash out at somebody. Oh, can you sort these? They're double-knotted.
Tom's passed out drunk on the sofa. A frustrated Howard leaves the room. In her house, Tasha walks around the room, removing sympathy flowers from their vases. Taking cards off of the mantelpiece, Tasha sees the unopened letter that Matt posted to her. She looks at it for a few moments, then walks away.
You've only got another week before you're back.
I need to clear my head, Mum. Everywhere I look, in Leisham.
Yeah, it's your brother, Hannah.
Need to blow out with his mates.
Look after yourself, yeah?
Wearing casual clothing, Tom hugs his mother. She kisses him.
Come on.
You're too big, fella.
Howard also hugs Tom, who then gets into a black cab. Howard stands with his hands in his pockets. Paula waves as the cab pulls away.
Well, that's it. The two of them gone.
Meanwhile, at Claire's house, a packed holdall bag rests on the bed. Major Pete Bartham stares at himself in the bathroom mirror. Later on, outside...
Wish you didn't have to go.
Me too, Mitch. Big love.
Pete kisses Millie and Claire.
Tell me this gets easier.
It doesn't.
Tom's cab drives past as Pete's hugging his wife. A slow-motion scene shows the two men glare intently at each other. Pete picks up his bag and shakes Sam's hand without saying anything. The teenager with gothic eye makeup is standing in the doorway. Millie, who's upset, goes back inside the house. Claire and Sam watch Pete leave in a blue car.
Hiya.
Tasha sat on the floor with a parcel by her feet.
I'm on early this week. So, thought I'd come by and see you.
Adam takes off his coat and sits on a chair near Tasha.
Just arrived. Last thing Matt ordered.
Sky blue wallpaper with the Shield logo of Leisham Town FC.
Patient town till I die.
That Alfie's room. He painted three of the walls in his last hour and a half.
Well, come on, then. What are we waiting for?
Adam, I'm a widow. This is a family house.
Yeah, well, they're not going to kick you out.
Well, not straight away, but come marching out of this house, we'll need to be Magnolia.
Do Matt want his paper up? Then we're putting it up.
Disgruntled young fiancé Shannon marches up to Claire's front door. Shannon looks Claire up and down.
Well, you were pissed. But you heard that pissed.
Beg your pardon?
Dean didn't come home last night.
I think you've got the wrong house.
There's a skinny bitch that lives here who tried to cop off my fiancé outside Mojitos. I want a word with her.
But you vandalised my car.
What are you talking about?
That respray cost me £800.
Where's your proof? Let's see what the police have got to say, eh? If you're so sure. Because I never touched no car.
Look, I don't know anyone called Dean, and I will call the police.
You tell her from me. Watch her back.
Shannon storms off as Claire shuts the door.
Millie!
Millie runs into the garden.
Millie!
Tasha's house. Wearing a checkered blue and grey shirt, Adam's pasting a piece of the wallpaper. Tasha stands in the doorway holding a tray of snacks and drinks. He smiles at her, but her expression is blank. He looks down at the shirt he's wearing.
I didn't want to get paste on my work shirt. This was rolled up with the brushes. I'm sorry.
Tall and slim Adam hastily unbuttons the shirt. Tasha puts the tray down and slowly walks over to him. She sees a fresh tattoo inked above his left nipple. Tasha gently runs her finger over his tattoo, which says, Matty, 1988 to 2012.
It's beautiful.
Adam stares at Tasha. She leans down and sniffs the shirt as he holds it open. Tasha, who's significantly shorter than Adam, pulls away and then smiles as she looks up at him. She leans in again and hugs him with her head resting against his chest. He wraps his arms around her. Claire's driving.
I know she's dense, not dense enough to hide outside.
There she is.
Millie's standing with a bunch of friends. Claire pulls up and opens the door. Millie reluctantly gets in.
Drive, drive, drive.
Your mother's officially a mentalist.
And you are officially grounded. You go to school, you work, you come back. At weekends, you get a job to pay for that respray. I know who caused the damage, and I know why.
You can't make me.
No, but your father can.
Millie slumps down into the seat and stares hatefully at Sam.
Ta-da! I'd forgotten my order until the parcel arrived.
And you did all this today?
Newly decorated walls.
Oh, it's wonderful. You know, I argued about this paper, but he was right. Look, Alfie. Proper big boy's room.
While it lasts.
Tasha yawns.
And a proper night's sleep for you.
Oh, don't.
You look shattered. Go and have a lie down.
You've had him all day.
Oh, another hour or so won't make much difference. Oh.
Go
to
Mummy.
Let's find a biscuit.
Paula goes downstairs carrying Alfie.
Get done. And get done.
What's this?
Get that.
Paula sees the unopened letter from Matt on Tasha's mantelpiece.
Get done.
Can't sell him 2 or 1.
In teeth bed.
Gracie wants a biscuit.
Well, listen, I'll have to ring you back at bedtime. All right, bye. Kids, there's a letter from Daddy.
What is it? What's he saying?
Louise excitedly opens the letter. She suddenly looks hurt when she sees a photo inside.
Go get the biscuits. Go on.
The photo shows Louise's topless husband Joe kissing a woman with a tattoo on her right arm. Meanwhile, Paula's reading Matt's letter.
Oh, he's well away. Thanks, Paula.
Tasha stops.
Matt's letter? You've opened it.
Someone had to.
Yes, me.
Now I know why it took you so long. What am I supposed to think when I ring and you're out clubbing? Do you know how hard it is to get a phone call over there?
One missed call, one night in weeks.
And it's your one and only duty, being when he rings, send him back to work happy. He hadn't slept in days. It was running round and round his brain. What you were doing, who you were with.
I've never been with anyone.
He couldn't sleep, he couldn't concentrate, and you couldn't be bothered to wait him.
Look, the lads in the unit, they wound him up.
One late reaction, one foot out of place. That's what happened when he stepped on that bomb. He was thinking about you with other men.
Tasha slapped Paula.
Get out! Get out!
As Tasha breathes heavily, Paula slowly walks over to the sofa and picks up her coat.
You didn't open that because you knew what it'd say. And now I do too. You killed him.
Paula points an accusing finger at Tasha and then storms out. Tasha looks shaken. Next time on Homefront.
This is the end for us with Tasha and Alfie. Oh, I've already lost my son. I do not intend to lose a grandson too.
Oh, she'll be back.
Someone got dressed in a hurry.
I'm pregnant.
We'll only get through this by talking. What about Hannah and Grace? What will I tell them?
You'll think of something.
Lou.